You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Right, good morning, everyone. And parents and carers will be joining us in the next little bit. I'm not sure. I just went up and saw him and he's just left the room. But we have Master Declan Quinlan in the house for the first time. Come on, make your entrance. And here he is! Yay! Well done to Natalie and Liam. And now, Declan, you are so welcome amongst us. Such a joy to see him and see you guys. Well done, and bless you all. And yeah. Isn't it great when there's a new birth in the house? So good. So I want to begin today by sharing something that's been sort of stirring in my spirit over the last couple of weeks. As an eldership team, we've been meeting together for the last few weeks, praying, seeking God in many ways to hear his voice, what he got for us in the run-up to Christmas, and what about next year? And as a part of that time, particularly a couple of weeks ago, I had what we might call a prophetic sense that over the past 18 months, God has been preparing us, forming us, and is now bringing us into a season of fruitfulness. Not busyness and not hype, but fruitfulness. The kind that comes from the slow, deep, faithful work of the Spirit. At our worship evening on Wednesday night, we had a week of prayer last week with 7 a.m. prayer meetings on Zoom, which was wonderful, people gathering together. And then on Wednesday night, we had a day of communal fasting, and in the evening, we gathered together for a time of worship and prayer. And a prophetic picture was shared that seemed to sum up all that the elders had been praying about, really, and this sense that I was having. Someone saw a picture of something, but it was covered in camouflage. Under the camouflage was a sort of things, treasures and resources and goodies, all sorts of things. Yet it was hidden, unseen and easy to overlook. But the Lord was saying through that picture that he was going to remove the camouflage and to reveal what was inside. And of course, the treasure, when we get to it in the essence, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I believe that's what the Spirit is saying to us as a community. I've been forming you in the hiddenness so that I might display my glory through you. This is a word about moving from hidden formation to visible witness, about the treasure of Christ being seen in his people for the good of the world. But before we rush forward with that, I believe the Spirit wants us to pause and reflect and discern. And so this morning, what I want us to do is to look back, look around, look ahead, and then look within, to see the story he has been writing amongst us and to recognize our part in it. So let's begin by looking back, because if we're not careful, we can easily just blow past what's been happening. We can rush past without seeing the work of the Spirit and the work of God. We don't take the time to stop and notice what's been happening. And Jeremiah 17 gives us an image that's framed this whole journey. It says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." You see, formation is like that tree. It's slow, steady, anchored, and resilient. It's the quiet work of God developing beneath the surface so that fruit can come in its right time. And of course, there can be bursts of growth and miraculous breakthroughs alongside seasons of pruning. And all of that happens in a context of abiding. We had that as our living verse. And over the past 18 months, that's exactly what God has been doing in us. He's been forming us personally and communally for fruitfulness that will last. So let's look back and see. Over these past 18 months, God's been drawing us into a rhythm that's become the heartbeat of our life together. Over that time, we've been going and developing this pattern where we've had 4 weeks of teaching, then a week of prayer and fasting, and an altogether evening of worship and encounter. And what began as an intentional experiment has actually become a part of who we are. It's how we live as a community that seeks God first. And that rhythm has done something in us, not just simply put something in our calendars. It's softened our hearts and it's deepened our dependence and it's built a greater unity across the generations. It's no longer just a schedule on the calendar, it's becoming a way of life. And it's important for us to look back and see that that's been happening and there's been intentional purpose in doing so. So when we gather now, there's a growing expectation that God will speak, that His Spirit will move, and that prayer is not a formality but the very furnace of life together. This pattern has formed us into a people who don't just talk about seeking God, we're actually doing it. So through practicing the way, we've been learning what it means to order our lives around Jesus. We've been learning these practices of slowing down, of Sabbath rest, of listening, of praying and worshiping, studying and living as apprentices of Jesus. And through the weeks of prayer and fasting, we're discovering dependence. We're discovering that life just on our own, it's hard. Those 7 a.m. Zoom prayer meetings, wonderful gathering together. And Thursday morning, the team was flying to South Africa. Catherine and Auntie already there, been joining us at 7 a.m. from South Africa. Thursday morning, the team left, I think 2:30 in the morning. Sean pops up, sitting in his chair in the aeroplane, joins us for a few minutes before the flight had to take off. Just such fun. And then everyone together on the Friday. The Wednesday nights of worship, they're becoming a furnace of church life. And through our evenings on the Wednesday evenings, we're seeing the Spirit soften hearts and knit generations together and deepen our hunger for His presence. And it's notable that the words and scriptures that were brought on Wednesday, if not half, maybe a bit more, were bought by the youth. And we just need to stop and think about that because it's really important. 18 months ago, the youth were not part of those evenings. And now here they are joining in and contributing with scripture and words from God. That's a major shift, something that needs to be celebrated. And I was talking with one of the young people afterwards, after the evening, and they had such a brilliant observation and a challenge that I felt I had to bring it this morning to all of us. This is what they said. I really like these evenings, but as I look around the room worshiping, I don't see much joy or delight. I see people looking very serious or like they need the toilet. When I worship, it makes me smile. Where are all the smiles? Ouch. What a brilliant observation. Where are all the smiles? The next generation is asking. And it's not just these evenings that we are seeing the fruit of our formation. It's across all of our life. Growing Hope Farnham, bringing tangible hope and healing to families with children with additional needs. Our journey to become a registered charity started 18 months ago. The Den has kicked off again in September and is filled with so many children from outside of the church, discovering joy and belonging. Our youth growing in faith and passion for God. Loads of non-church kids coming on a Friday. And then, of course, for the past 18 months, this group on Wednesday gathering together for discipleship. It's a big shift. The Refresh Cafe meets on a Thursday morning, which is now Rebecca is taking the lead on that, forming community and extending grace to new parents looking for a place of rest and peace. Wonderful stuff. The refurbishment of our building, Waden Christian Center, creating spaces for therapy, discipleship, and worship. A physical space matching spiritual purpose. And in the coming weeks and months, Sean's going to begin to talk about how we're seeing Waden Christian Center as a wonderful prophetic image of what God has been doing through us. You see, people can drive past Waden Christian Center at the moment and still think, what is that weird building? There's no sign. But then they can come into the building and see the work that's been done on the inside. And the most common response is, wow, this is such a lovely space. This is beautiful. It's that time now that as we move into refurbing the outside and adding the pods into the building, into the garden, that camouflage of that old community hall that was like, what is that weird building that we drive past? It becomes this wonderful place where the emergence of the Jubilee Hub can shine forth. We've got our intergenerational church vision where all ages are serving and growing together, embodying what it is to be a family of God. So can you see what he's been doing these past 18 months? Unless we stop and think and look back, we can say, we can just miss it. But they're not random events, all of these things converging. They're the fruit of our formation. Then let's not just move on, but let's look back and recognize what God's doing and come with a thankfulness in our hearts, because gratitude opens our eyes to glory. And we recognize his faithfulness. We get ourselves ready for the next move. So we've looked back. Now that's look ahead, look around. What is the moment we're in right now? Isaiah 55 tells us that God's word never fails to accomplish its purpose. As the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. These past 18 months have been the rainfall of formation and preparation, God's word softening and shaping and saturating the soil of our hearts with his word. And there's purpose in it. There's a reason why this is happening. And the purpose is this wonderful sense of that seed being sown, that the bread coming out of it for the eater. And the inward work of God prepares us for the outward display of his glory and goodness. And I believe that's where we are now. This is a season of visible witness, a time when what God has been forming in the secret will be shown to the community. A time when the treasure of Christ in us has been seen and tasted by the world. And that's exactly the picture of that treasure chest. It's been camouflaged. There's work's been going on and something's been happening. But now the season is coming for that camouflage to be taken off. And the Lord is revealing his treasure, his life, his gospel, his hope through his church. This is a moment of divine unveiling, a moment to discern what the Spirit is doing amongst us. And there's that wonderful line, a short line in 1 Chronicles 12 verse 32, it talks about the men of Issachar. And it says they were men who understood their times and knew what Israel should do. They could discern what God was doing in their generation and how their people were meant to respond. And I believe that's exactly what God is doing amongst us, giving us a church with an Issachar heart. We don't want to be a people that just rush from one thing to the next, but who pause long enough to sense the times that we're living in and respond with wisdom and faith and obedience. To look around and discern the reign of formation. And like the men of Issachar, may we be a people who both understand the moment and to step into it boldly. So we've looked back, we've looked around, now we look ahead. If God has been forming us, and I think He has, what has He been forming us for? If this has been a season of preparation, what are we being prepared for? John 4 verse 35 says, Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field, they're ripe for harvest. You see, there are moments when the Spirit gives us a visible confirmation that the fields around us are ready. And I believe He's giving us one right now. As I said in the notices, on the 7th of December, the churches we work closely with in Farnham are hosting a carol service with Nikki Gumbel, the founder of Alpha, coming to lead that service. It's probably the biggest outreach event the town has ever seen. And we just need to think about that for a moment. Just imagine how many requests Nikki Gumbel must get from around the UK and around the world to come and lead a carol service. Why Farnham? Why is that happening? Well, I think it's because the ground has been prepared, not just with what we're doing, the work that Sean labors so hard in and bringing the churches together, the group that we have, and the different churches that we work with, all wanting to work together for the spread of the gospel. This is not a coincidence, it's a confirmation. And the Spirit is saying, the time is ready, the field is ready. So this is what these past 18 months have been building us up to, a praying, worshipping, Spirit-formed people ready to host a moment of harvest. But you see, that harvest doesn't happen automatically. It happens through our participation. And what does that look like for each one of us? Well, I think the first thing we can do is pray. Ask God to open our hearts for the Spirit to move and for people to encounter Jesus as we lead up to Christmas with all of these different events going on. You saw every weekend in the lead up to Christmas there's something happening, either here or across the town. We can be praying. We can invite. Take courage and extend a simple invitation. Just imagine partnering with God in a conversation, an invitation that changes someone's eternity. How exciting is that? Serve. Every practical role matters. Every smile, every welcome, every PA sound balancing, every prayer, every role matters. So we can pray, we can invite, we can serve, and we can expect. Don't just hope that this will be a nice season. Have an expectation that God will move in people's hearts and their people will be saved and healed and awakened. And then, of course, as we step into January, we've got the Christmas time, step into January, we'll be launching an Alpha in conjunction with the churches across the town. So those that encounter God and have the moving of the Spirit in their hearts throughout Christmas and at the Christmas carol service with Nikki on the 7th, then have an invitation to Alpha in the January where they can come and explore the questions of faith that they have. So this is what God's been preparing us for. The rain has fallen, the ground is soft, and the fields are ready. And God is saying to us now, I think, lift up our eyes and see what I am doing. And finally, then, let's look within. We look back, we looked around, we looked ahead, now we look within. Because this isn't just what Jubilee Church is doing, it's also about you. Paul prays in Colossians 1, verse 9 to 10, he says, we continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will. And it goes on and says, so that we don't just get filled with the knowledge of his will so that we can build up our intellect. It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. There's this connection that as we know more and more about God and understand him and his ways, it leads to a particular kind of life and fruit in its season. And formation and fruitfulness always go together, to know him deeply and to make him known widely. It would be inconceivable to the early church that followers could become like Jesus but not do what he did. See, Jesus does lots of things, but the core aspect is his mission, his desire to share the good news of the gospel and see people saved. And formation, all the things that we're doing, all of the practicing the way and the spiritual disciplines and practices, it must never cause us to turn in on ourselves and we become navel-gazing and some sort of Christian version of self-improvement. What a waste of time if that was the case. Formation's purpose is to become more like Jesus for our good, for God's glory, and for the sake of the world. So let me ask you something personally. What's God been forming in you over these past months? What's he been shaping and refining, building and restoring? Maybe it's courage. Maybe it's compassion, perseverance or faith or generosity. You see, whatever it was and is, your formation isn't random. It's preparation. And God's been forming something in you because he wants to bring something through you for the sake of the world. So the next season isn't just about what happens from the front or in building projects or even missions out to South Africa only. It's about the hundreds of small faithful acts that together display the treasure of Jesus in our town and in our world. So ask yourself, oh, there are all those things we could have done. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm getting there. There we go. Who might God be calling me to pray for? Who might I invite to the carol service or Alpha? Where can I serve and give or step out in faith? And how can I let the treasure of Christ in me shine this week? You haven't thought about it in this way. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and it's like the first time you're thinking and looking back and reflecting and saying, oh, maybe the first question is that really what he's been doing? It's a good question to ask. But I'd encourage you, as you reflect on it, as you go back over the last 18 months, see how God has been working in your life. Ask the question, what has he been preparing me for? You see, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says this, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all the power is from God and not from us. Have this treasure in jars of clay. What a prophetic picture. God has placed this treasure in us, not because we're impressive in any way, but because he is. And now he's saying, I'm taking off the camouflage. I'm revealing my glory through my people. So that's what we're becoming. A formed people, planted by the stream, bearing fruit in season. Formation builds deep roots within us, and faith, fruitfulness now brings shade to others. You see, our world, your neighbors, your street, your workplace, your school gate, it doesn't need a restless church chasing the next idea to try to keep people entertained. What the world desperately needs is a formed church, full of love, prayerful, generous, welcoming, caring, full of grace, joyful. A community in whom Jesus is visible. And I believe that's the call on Jubilee Church in this season. It's not unique to us in many ways. Of course, that would be on all churches. But tuning in to the times and where our particular journey is in God. He's calling us to display the treasure, to reveal the King, to be evidence of His presence in Farnham and across the world. And we just don't want to miss out on the invitation that's here. I don't want anyone to miss out. You see, we don't want to rush on from formation thinking it's done now. I've done the course. Because formation is lifelong. It's over time. It's often slow. And it's often found in the mundane rhythms of life. And of course, it's sometimes in the miraculous and in the great big leap forward. And we celebrate those moments. But we also need to know it's in the everyday. It's slow and it's over time. Sometimes it takes someone else to come and stop and say, wow, just remember where you were then and where you are now and how much you've grown. And I think in our kind of churches, we're at a danger of celebrating the dramatic at the expense of the mundane. Now, I was talking with another church leader on Friday, and I was talking about this, and he just said, the mundane isn't very exciting, is it? And so we celebrate the dramatic, which is right. We always want to celebrate and hold that conviction. And also, we can't do that at the expense that it's actually day by day by day by day by day. And how important the day by day, and how much God's work and activity of the Spirit is happening in the day by day, as much as it's happening in the dramatic encounter with God. And it's holding both of those together. Because if we only look for the dramatic, if we only look for the power encounter, then we'll miss what He's doing day by day. And we've got to hold both together. Because sometimes formation is two steps forward and four steps back, and you're wondering what happened. But you see, that is why these practices we've been doing are so crucial. They embed into our lives so that we live life in a certain way. They're not so that we can habit stack our way to perfection. They're not so that we can just give you something further to do. But as we build in these rhythms of Sabbath, of prayer, of solitude, of fasting, of worship, of Scripture, they change how we live. And often some of the things that are confronting us and challenging us, we're able to cope with them better when those rhythms and those patterns and disciplines are in our lives. They aren't just, right, we've done this 4 weeks, tick, done, put Sabbath to bed. And I know just even by the nature of a course, it can feel that way. Right, we've done that, we're on to the next thing. And we've done that, we're on to the next thing. And it's just like stacking up all these things. But that's not the purpose at all. The purpose is so that it gets deep down into our hearts and our lives so that we live differently. So that we live in a certain way that reflects Jesus in our life. So that when the challenges of life come, even as we're reading in that scripture, when the season of drought comes, the tree still bears fruit. Its leaves are still green. And I'm not saying that the practices are the only way and the way and that your life will be perfect if you have them. Absolutely not. But I do believe that there is a pattern that Jesus lived by and that following His pattern helps build us into certain people living a certain way in this world. And so I encourage all of us Think about those things. And if you've stopped doing some of them, maybe you got really excited about fasting. The giggles in the room perhaps indicate maybe not, but, or prayer, or scripture. Scripture, our time in scripture seemed to capture our hearts in an exciting way. And as that happens, let's keep building that into our lives because they become really rhythms that create space for us to host the work of the Spirit in our lives for the glory of God and for the good of the world. So keep going. Because God is saying to us, stay in the rhythm that I've given you. Keep with prayer and fasting and worship. These practices, these spiritual disciplines. I've been forming you for this moment. The camouflage is coming off, and let us treasure the treasure of Jesus that is inside of us begin to shine more and more and more. And of course, I'm not saying that no one has been shining up until that point. Absolutely not. The Spirit of God is working in us all the time. But as a community, what we need to do is recognize where we are with God on our journey with Him. And we can tune into that. And there is a sense of revealing. And when we look back over the past 18 months, not only in the physical, but in the spiritual as well, we can start to see that happening more and more. We want to embrace with some intention that season that we're in. And I think this is a holy moment for us right now, a time to stop, a time to see and give thanks, and then to step forward in faith. It is a time, and I would encourage you to look back, look around, look within, and look forward. And let's not miss it. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the long hidden work of formation, for the early mornings of prayer, the fasting, the worship, the obedience. Thank you that you have been faithful to shape us for this moment. Thank you for the fruit already appearing, for lives touched through our Growing Hope Clinic, for children and youth encountering you, for community forming through the Refresh Cafe, for intergenerational life flourishing in this family, and for the children's ministry here on a Sunday, for the men's ministry that has been meeting for the past 18 months, and for the team in South Africa right now. Lord, we want to receive that prophetic word and help it to help us to be shaped by it, that the treasure chest is being uncovered. Take off the camouflage, Lord, and let the beauty of Jesus shine through us more and more. We pray, Lord God, for the Nikki Gumbel Carol service. Let it be a moment of harvest, a display of your glory in our town. Lord, we pray for the Alpha course. May it be a good soil where many come to faith and grow in Jesus. And Lord God, continue to form us throughout this season of fruitfulness. Keep us near the stream of your presence and let our visible witness always flow from hidden communion. We offer ourselves to you afresh today, our time, our gifts, our prayers, our obedience. We ask, Lord, work through us to display your glory in Farnham and beyond. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We can have the band back up, Nathan. And I want us to respond to this moment. It's an invitation. No one's compelled, but everyone is invited. The question being, how can I get involved? What's God calling me to do and to step into? And so I want us, as we begin worship, to take some time before we come to the communion table. I've been reminding us that as we take this weekly practice of coming to the table, of taking the bread that's been broken and the blood that's been, and the wine that's been shed, we need to come weekly into that place where we are confessing our sins, repenting to one another, preparing to receive God's goodness. It's a moment to ask God, Lord, what are you calling me to? It's a moment where we remember Jesus on the cross and all that he accomplished, where our sin was just taken on him, and the resurrection and the reconciling of us back to God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, come amongst us now as we worship again, as we come to your communion. Prepare us and form us, Lord. Help us to take a moment right now where we do stop and look back even over the week. Confess our sins to you, to one another, where we need to receive your grace and forgiveness afresh. Come to your table to be reminded of your grace and your glory to us, your love and your mercy, your sacrifice and all that you've done for us. And Lord, in this moment where we're communing with you, where we are eating the bread and drinking the wine, Lord, speak to us, I pray. Speak to each one of us individually and to us as a community. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please, if you're able to, let's stand, let's worship. And as I've been saying each week, don't rush to the communion table. Take a moment.